Let's read together this evening, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Well, the text for the sermon tonight is verses 19, 20, and 21. The word of God at Matthew 6, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy right left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So far we read the inspired word of God. Let's together read again verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Whitney's confession of faith this evening, she made it clear to the church and to the world that this earth that we are on right now is not her home, but that her true home is in the glory of heaven. That's a truth that was driven home to us in this past week with the death of Austin Lauterman, was it not? When you reflect upon his life of only 8 years, one of the very easiest and most beautiful things to say in response to what happened very simply is this: Austin was taken to his true home. It's a very simple way to understand what happened. We sometimes move. We move from house to house. Austin this past week made the greatest move from this earth to his true home in heaven. In Whitney's confession of faith tonight, she made it very clear that that home, the Father's house of many mansions, is where she will go one day. In her confession of faith tonight, she made it very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is her Savior and her Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when He ascended into heaven, He went into the Father's house of many mansions and prepared a place for her. When we confess our faith, we are confessing how we view this earth on which we live, in confessing that our true home is in the glory of heaven. Now, beloved, if that is true for Whitney, if that is true for any of us, that's going to be reflected in the manner in which we go forth in our life on this earth. It's going to be reflected in many ways, not the least of which is what we have in this passage before us tonight from Matthew chapter 6. If we say, as we do, that our true home is in the glory of heaven and then the new creation where Jesus is, what we are going to do is not lay up our treasures here on this earth, but instead what we are going to do is heed this word of Jesus, that we would lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That's the word of God to you, Whitney, tonight in your confession of faith. That's the word of God to all of us as we sit under the preaching of the gospel this evening. Let's look at these few verses using as our theme, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We notice in the first place the command itself. In the second place, let's see the reason. And then in the third place, let's see the source of our doing that. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, the command, the reason, and then the source. We find ourselves in this passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' sermon that he preached on the kingdom of God. In the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, what Jesus emphasizes is the fact that what must be most important to us is that we stand before Jehovah God. We stand before our Father in heaven. We need to guard against being like hypocrites who are only concerned about our relationship before men. And he gives those three examples that we read of at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6. When ye fast, when ye pray, and when ye give, understand that you are doing that not before men, and that's not why you're doing that, but you stand before and you stand in a relationship with your heavenly Father. That's the beginning of Matthew chapter 6. In verse 19, the first verse of the text for the sermon tonight, Jesus goes on to speak about our relationship to this earth in which we live. Now, when we think about our life here on this earth, there are always two temptations that we need to fight against. When we think about our relationship to the things of this earth and this world in which we live, there are two temptations we need to fight against. On the one hand, we always have to fight against anxiety and fear that the needs of this earth are going to be met. And that's what Jesus talks about at the end of Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't be anxious. As you reflect upon your life on this earth and the relationship to this world, don't be anxious because you have a heavenly Father. He cares for the flowers in the field. He will care for you whom He loves. The other danger that we always need to fight against when we think about our relationship to this world in which we live is that of worldliness, that of materialism, that of making this earth the be-all and end-all of our life. And that's what He addresses in these words that we are considering tonight. He says to us tonight, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth, but understand where your true home is, which is in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Let's see the command first of all and look at first the negative and then we'll see the positive in a little bit. Both of these commands have to do with this idea of laying up for yourselves treasures in one of two places, for yourselves either in heaven or on earth. That idea of laying up for yourselves is important because it gets to the end or the goal or the purpose of what you are doing as it relates to where you see yourself and where you want to be. Another way to think of laying up for yourselves is gathering for yourselves or amassing for yourselves treasures. Somewhat of a play on words. Literally, it says, treasure for yourselves, treasures. The verb and the noun come from the same root. But that's the idea. Don't, Jesus says, gather for yourselves or amass for yourselves treasures upon this earth. And you will do that when you have a certain view of this earth. And if you view this earth from this point of view, that this is what is most important, and this is where I want to be, and to me, this earth is everything. If that's how you view this earth, you are going to go forth and you are going to be driven by this goal to gather for yourselves those types of treasures. Jesus says, your kingdom, your citizens of the kingdom of heaven, don't do that. And we need to be warned against that temptation to do that. We need to be warned against that temptation because our sinful natures are drawn to this earth. And we very much have it in us to be driven by this end that we gather for ourselves the things that belong to this earth. Obviously, one of the applications here has to do with money, possessions, stuff. We live in a materialistic society and we need to be warned against being driven by the desire to gather as many things of this earth as we possibly can. And that becomes very real to us when we ask the questions, for example, of what am I going to do in this life? For someone like Whitney, just graduated from high school, now you have to ask the questions, what am I going to pursue in my life? Am I going to go to school? If I go to school, what am I going to study? And what am I in the end going to do for my job? This truth becomes very significant to answer those types of questions. If we are one who is driven by this earth, driven by the desire to store up for ourselves treasures on this earth, we are going to answer that question and follow a certain path. We're going to do that which gets us the most as it relates to the things of this earth. Now, I'm not saying tonight that when somebody's in a similar position that Whitney's in, that money is not a legitimate concern. It is. That can be part of the equation when we think about what I'm going to do. The fact is, we have things that we need to support. We need to support our spouse, the church, the schools, other kingdom causes. The issue is when that's the driving force of your answer to that question. And that's the idea of the laying up. It gets behind the purpose and the goal and the end of what you are doing, why you are doing what you are doing. And if the answer to your question of what am I going to do is only driven by this, then you're living as though this earth is where it's at. If you're a young man or you're a young woman that has in your heart, for example, a desire to teach, and you look at your abilities that God has given to you, and you have the abilities to teach, but yet this part of your sinful nature is so strong where you say, I'm not going to pursue that, even though I may have a desire for it and may I even have gifts for it, I'm not going to pursue that because I know that if I teach, I'm never going to be phenomenally wealthy. You'll be wealthy. We're all wealthy living in America. But I'll never be phenomenally wealthy. I'll never be able to go to the car dealership and open up the new car magazines and say, I want that model in that color with these options with 0 miles on it delivered to my home. You're never going to be able to do that. And so you say to yourself, I don't want to pursue that path. That's being driven by this earth in amassing for yourselves the treasures that belong to this earth. But understand, beloved, that it's not just money, it's not just possessions, it's not just stuff. Treasures here can be anything that belong to this realm, which is of this earth. Treasure literally is something that's valuable to you. And what may not be valuable to someone over here may be valuable to someone over here. And the reality is that we place value on things that are not necessarily money or possessions or stuff. It can be anything that belongs to the realm of this earth. It can be power, it can be prestige, it can be a position of authority, it can be pleasure, it can be entertainment. If you say to yourself, this earth is where it's at, and this is most important to me, I'm going to drive myself to do everything possible to enjoy as much pleasure and entertainment as I possibly can in the here and now. I live so that I can enjoy the Friday evenings and the Saturdays where I get to enjoy the pleasure and the entertainment of this world. The applications for what it means to store up for yourselves treasures in this earth are many. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that because you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. But instead do this. The positive is lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Again, remember what I've been saying. This has everything to do with what drives us in the end and the goal and the purpose. And it has everything to do with where we are going to be and where we want to be and where what is most important to us is. If it's of this earth, we're going to do what I just described. But if we say tonight, as Whitney said in her confession of faith, that my end is heaven, then this will be true. You're going to lay up for yourselves treasures that have an eye on that end to which I am going, heaven. Obviously, we're on earth right now, and this is a word to us right now. This is something we do right now. We can't go to heaven. We can't put anything in heaven. The idea is that we lay up for ourselves treasures that have an eye on where we will be and where we want to be, which is the glory of heaven. The entire passage is a contrast between this realm that is this earth and what belongs to this realm, which is this of this earth, and the realm of heaven and the nature of what belongs to heaven. So how do we do this? How do we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven that have an eye on where we are going and want to be in heaven? Obviously, the nature of the treasures and the nature of the activity of laying up is very different. We're talking now about that which is spiritual and that which is heavenly. We do this, for example, in the first place, by regularly and weekly sitting under the faithful preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I say that in light of what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." He speaks of a treasure there. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In the context of 2 Corinthians 4 is the preaching of the gospel. Paul says that God gives the gospel as it is preached that has this effect, verse 4, or rather verse 6, that God commands light to shine out of darkness, shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel as it is preached, is found in earthen vessels. God gives the gospel to be preached to sinful, weak, human instruments. If we're going to go forward with our eye on heaven, if we're going to amass for ourselves, and that's the idea of the passage, there's an activity here that we need to be engaged in. We need to sit under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the treasure, the greatest treasure, the treasure of the good news of salvation in Christ is set forth and the Spirit uses to work in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls. Because we lay that up for ourselves, it has bearing on what matters, which is our life in heaven. I know, Whitney, we talked about this when you made confession of faith. You talked about church. You talked about the importance of church. You talked about the importance of the preaching of the gospel. This is an encouragement to you. Make this front and center in your life. And that's the word to all of us tonight. If we're going forth understanding that our home is in heaven, what really matters is our life with Jesus Christ. And God gives us these treasures, and we receive these treasures, we gather these treasures in the way of sitting under the preaching of the gospel from week to week. In the second place, we lay up for our treasures in heaven by continually studying and growing in the knowledge and wisdom of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Another passage that speaks of treasures from a spiritual point of view. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, the end of verse 2 is, "And of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge," all of the riches of knowledge and wisdom are in Jesus Christ. And that's revealed to us in the preaching of the gospel, certainly, but that's revealed to us in the sacred scriptures. If we're going to invest in our life in heaven, we need to continually be growing and developing in the knowledge and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And we do that through our faithful study and meditating upon the scriptures that reveal to us that knowledge and wisdom of Christ. We need to know the truth, and we need to be wise. We need to be able to take that truth and apply it to our lives in a way that brings glory to God, in a way that reflects the fact that it's not this earth that we are concerned with, but we need wisdom to live, knowing that where we are going is most important to me in heaven. In the last place, we lay up for ourselves treasures with an eye on heaven by very simply following Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, says these words. This is Jesus' words to the man who is guilty of doing what Jesus says not to do in this passage, laying up for himself treasures on this earth. He was a rich man. That's what drove him in everything he did, to accumulate the things of this earth. This is what Jesus says to him. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." If what he was doing was gathering for himself the treasures of this earth, Jesus says, this is what you are to do instead. He says, sell all that thou hast. That was a word particular to him because of his sins. We're not called to sell all that we have. We need to learn from that. But this applies to everyone. The end there. This is the opposite. Come, Jesus says, take up the cross and follow me. If we're living with an end on glory, we show that very simply by following Jesus Christ. We follow him in everything we do. Whitney needs to follow him in everything she does. That was her confession. And the beauty of this part of the application is the fact that it touches everything. We're not in church every single day. We're not called every part of every day to read and study the scriptures. But this we do in all of our life here on this earth. We follow Jesus. Beloved, follow Jesus. Because when you follow Jesus, you're living in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that has ever been given to you. It doesn't matter what you are doing. It doesn't matter what sphere of your life you are in. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you are living with your eye on heaven, your true home. Why do you study what you study? And why do you work hard in school? Because you're following Jesus. And I'm called in my following of Jesus to give myself the best that I am able to what I do and to let my light shine before the world in the way that I do it. Why am I going to not date this person, but date this person? Why am I going to be friends, not with this group, but with this group? Because I'm following Jesus. And I'm called to date a fellow believer. And I'm called to be friends with those who are in the church, those who I'm going to be in heaven with, those who are going to encourage me in my spiritual walk here on this earth. Follow Jesus. Gets to the heart of what this means. The question is why? Why are we going to live driven not by laying up and gathering treasures on this earth, but instead laying up for ourselves treasures that have an eye on our life and the end of heaven. The why is stated in the passage. The why has to do with the nature of earth and the nature of heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. 2 points are emphasized there by the Lord. One, everything of this earth is subject to decay and corruption. Number two, everything that belongs to the realm of this earth is subject, very simply, to be taken from us. Talks about the decaying of that takes place as a result of moth and rust. The moth there is a reference to an insect in its larva stage, most likely, that would embed itself on cloth or on clothes. Those in Jesus' day would be familiar with what he's talking about. And it would get in clothes and it would feast on those clothes. And basically the clothes or the cloth would totally be eaten away. Rust possibly is a reference to something very similar to that, the eating away of an insect or a creature, but it can also be exactly what we think of when we think of rust. Rust eats away at metal. Eventually, after you drive your car for a long time, you look in the door jams, you look underneath, as it's subject to the elements, eventually it starts to erode and decay. Thieves emphasizes what is taken from us. A thief breaks in and he steals, so that one day you had something and the next day it's completely gone. And because it was a thief and because he broke in without your knowing, you had no ability to stop it. Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures here, because here, everything here is subject to decay and in the end subject to be taken from us. And we know how true that is. Everything's breaking down. Everything's falling apart. Here we are in a church building, a beautiful building, but walk around it. Look at it closely. Things start to fall apart. Things start to break down. We're doing good work of maintaining it. But the point is, it needs work. It needs constant work. Because it's been standing for 30, 40, 50 years. And it's of this earth. And of this earth, it breaks down. Beloved, think about your own life. Think about, if you're older, the things that you had 20 years ago, 25 years ago. How many of the things that you had 25 years ago are still playing a part in your life today? I imagine very, very few things. All of your clothes are different. Driving a different car, probably in a different house. Probably the entirety of your possessions have turned over at least once or twice. And it illustrates this idea. It's simply of this earth. You think about our money. In a flash, it can be taken from us. All it takes is another recession. All it takes is losing your job. All it takes is a serious injury. And that entire bottom line that you have in your bank account, fast forward 2-3 years, and all of a sudden, it's completely gone. And not just stuff this is subject to, but the fact is, all of the treasures that we may store up and are driven by as it relates to this earth can be taken from us. You live your life for pleasure, entertainment. You live your life for sports. You break your arm or you break your leg, and what you lived for all of a sudden is taken from you. You live your life to be in a position of power, authority, prestige. You're driven in your company to get to the top and be that man. Everybody's replaceable, and you know it. You may think you're irreplaceable right now, but if you're gone, someone will come in and take your place. And this gets to the heart of it all, our very life. James chapter 4, verse 14. uses the same word at the end of the passage to describe what our life is. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. Our life, as we have it here and now, is like a vapor that vanishes away. And now you ask the question, am I going to, in my life on this earth, be driven by amassing for myself treasures that belong here? And you understand the height of folly that it is. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And to say, this is most important to me, and this is what is going to drive me, is absolute folly. But on the flip side of that, why are we laying up for ourselves treasures that have as their end our life in heaven and life with Jesus Christ? Jesus says it in the text. Because heaven is where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Everything that belongs to the realm of heaven, in contrast to everything that belongs in the realm of this earth, is eternal, is lasting, is forever, and does not break down in any sense of the word. All of those treasures we will have, we have now, and we will have forever. Consider those glorious treasures that belong to the realm of heaven. Consider God's covenant faithfulness in Jesus Christ. We sang a few stanzas before the service from Psalm 89. Psalm 89, 33 through 37. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. The life that we have in Jesus Christ, earned for us on the cross of Calvary, John 3:16, which we know so well, will be an everlasting life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The inheritance of heaven itself, Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5, is an inheritance that never fades and never passes away. 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And very simply, beloved, the love of God, the love of God in Jesus Christ for us, the most valuable thing that belongs to the realm of heaven that we can ever think of. God loves me in Jesus. Listen to the nature of that love according to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus forever. In other words, beloved, it's forever. And now you ask the question again, am I going to live for this? Or am I going to live for heaven? You don't need me to answer that question for you. You know the answer to that question. Ultimately, what this comes down to is where our heart is. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Whitney's confession of faith, she made it clear tonight that her heart is in heaven. She made that clear because she confessed she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And she confessed that the Lord Jesus Christ is her Savior. And therefore, her home is in heaven. For where your treasures are, there your heart is also. Which means the treasures, what is most valuable to her, is that which belongs to heaven. Her heart is in heaven. Beloved, where is our heart? That's the question. Where is our heart? To ask that question, we ask another question. Where is that which is most valuable to us? Where are our treasures? To answer that question, you can ask the question, what are our treasures? What's most valuable to me? What do I live for? What do I place the highest value on? It's not of this earth. It's heaven. It's Jesus Christ Himself, who, as Whitney confessed, is my Lord and my Savior. Because Jesus is in heaven, and He is of greatest value to us. And because He's in us, by His Spirit, our hearts are where our treasure is. Our hearts are in heaven. Beloved, go forth. Whitney, go forth in faithfulness to that word. Don't lay your treasures up on this earth. Lay them up in heaven. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this word, and we pray, Lord, that it may bear fruit in our lives, that we would go forth as those who do not lay up for ourselves treasures here below, but in the glory of heaven. Forgive what was said or heard in sin. For Jesus' sake alone do we pray. Amen.